ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, welcome. I am so excited to be part of this show today because today is a milestone. This is our one-year anniversary, and we're ending the year with a really special guest. Our guest today is Barnett Bain. Now, Barnett has done a lot of things, but what you're about to hear today is going to take it beyond what I think he's done up until now because he comes from a special place. He comes from the heart. And it's really interesting that I'm saying this because when I met with Barnett, there was this connection that was really special. And then we decided to get together afterwards, and we spent 3 hours just as if we'd known each other forever. And it's interesting that these connections that are happening more and more, we really need to be cognizant of it and say, what is this? And ironically, Barnett says, you should have brought the camera so that we could have taped this moment that we were sharing instead of preparing for the show and then taping the show. And it's interesting that he said that, because that was just on Friday. Now, on Sunday, I was invited to Opera in the Park in Palm Springs. So I had some friends in the opera and in the orchestra, and so I decided to take a day off and go. And it was interesting because since I got there with friends, I was part of, you know, the whole backstage movement and all of that, and I went out and I watched the rehearsal. And a lot of people came out to the park to watch the rehearsal. And I stayed for 2.5-3 hours watching the rehearsal, and then I thought, why do I need to stay and watch the show? Now, the show would have been perfect. I did stay and watch the show, and the show was perfect. But there was something special going on between all the singers while they were rehearsing. And there was joking, and they were laughing, and they weren't in their formal tuxedos or their dresses, and they just, there was an energy, there was an atmosphere. And then the show started for real, and the rest of the audience had come, and everybody that paid for their tickets had sat down, and it was a perfect show. And it was a very good show, and I enjoyed it very much. It just wasn't real. Now, I've been a part of a lot of rehearsals, and I've hated it when the audience was there. And sometimes, I hate to admit, I've turned my back to the audience while I was rehearsing, asked them to turn the monitors off, and just sung with the orchestra facing the orchestra, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I got it that the audience, during a rehearsal, is getting a really special show. And in this day of hidden cameras and everybody's got a camera and taping moments that aren't the actual shows, in this day of that happening, I actually wonder, what is the actual show? And so here today, I'm hoping that we could go back to a couple days ago when Barnett and I were having a conversation for the first time about the show. And go back to that kind of moment, that kind of energy, which I know he could do, and I could do as well. Because to me, more and more, that's becoming the real show. And everything else is just kind of fake. So with that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to and watching, in this case now, Life Changes with Filippo. And you can see us and hear us at www.lifechanges.ws. Our guest, again, is Barnett Bain. And he is an award-winning Hollywood producer and director and a sought-after success coach. As a leader in the field of personal and transformational development, Barnett has inspired millions of people around the world, not just through his movies, not just through the TV shows that he's been a part of, but him personally talking to people, whether it's one-on-one, big groups, companies, you name it. Among his films, you'll recognize them are Life After Death, Oscar winner What Dreams May Come, starring Robin Williams. And, of course, The Celestine Prophecy, Jesus, and triple Emmy nominee, Homeless to Harvard. His upcoming productions include Richard Bach's Illusion and Milton's Secret by Eckhart Tolle and Robert Friedman. He's got a column that is really interesting and what got my attention and one of the reasons why he's here, and that column is called The Tao of Hollywood. So we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So please welcome to the show. I'm happy to have Barnett Bain.
Thank you. It's great to see you.
Good to have you here.
Good to see you
again. So we just met each other as I kick you, as I press my leg. We met each other, and right away we went straight to talking about the changes in the world and the changes within ourselves. And what is that? What happens between two people that don't know that they can actually go there?
Well, they know they don't have a camera in front of them. They know they're not on the radio, and they're real. You know, we were talking to subjects that we're passionately connected to, and that we feel a heart connection to, and that we feel a desire to explore. I know in my case, and I've learned from you that we share this, that we both have this desire as a priority over everything else.
Absolutely.
And that that everything else, at some point, everything else becomes an aspect of that exploration, an aspect of this seeking to understand and to become more and more aligned to the mystery of what consciousness is, and to constantly redefine yourself in terms of the exploration of consciousness, and everything else becomes an aspect of it. Conversations with friends that you meet along the path, and with family, and career and business pursuits, and suddenly one day you wake up and every aspect of your life is a facet of this diamond, this crystal called consciousness.
I like that, and what I like is the realness. Right away you were real. And the interesting thing is, you were real even when you didn't know me, and you were real on camera. Now, you said because people have cameras and they're recorded, sometimes they're not real. But you were, and it's interesting because I met Barnett.
I didn't say people, I said me.
You. Well, actually, I met you at a party long before, but then I saw you on the red carpet for this movie, and I was doing red carpet interviews, and you walked by. You weren't on my list, but then when I saw you walk by, I thought, I want him. I want to interview him. So I came after you, and I asked you a couple questions, and I asked you something, and I almost flippantly said, you know, Hollywood is here. You know, we've got Barnett Bain from Hollywood. And you said, where is Hollywood? And I said, well, you're here. It's like, yeah, I'm here, but we're in Hollywood, but Hollywood doesn't care. Hollywood isn't about, because it was a spiritual, progressively minded movie. Then when we talked last Friday, you had a different take on this, and I was really interested in that.
I'm trying to recollect what we talked about, but
Hollywood. Hollywood is not here. And then we came to, well, who is Hollywood?
Exactly. I mean, I look at Hollywood once upon a time, for many, many years, that was a holy grail that I pursued, because I thought that it would give me meaning and purpose and a sense of value, and that's not really how I hold it anymore. Those values, those functions, are really inside of me. So rather than me being in Hollywood, I now, you know, I choose to think of it as Hollywood is inside of me.
Mm.
Those things that I want to derive, those feelings that I want to have, those beliefs about myself, those attitudes, that sense of being all right or better than all right, or whatever kinds of vanities or missings that I was looking for in Hollywood. I'm looking to find those places and satisfy them inside. Mm. So Hollywood is inside. So I think it was more of a joke than anything else, but I remember you said it. That's where?
No, it's true. But I liked it because of the discussion that it brought up.
Yeah.
And so now here you're saying Hollywood is inside, and this is the beautiful thing, because as you're exploring inside, what's happening is you're projecting out. So the movies that you are bringing to the world, I mean, the Celestine Prophecy, obviously, What Dreams Are Come, are about this inner journey, this search, right? Mm-hmm. And now The Illusions as well that you're working on. It's what you're working on is coming out. So you are affecting Hollywood, and Hollywood, because of you, is affecting the world.
That's great. That's a great way to look at it. I mean, I look at it in that way. But I also think of it in terms of this is the great passion of my life. It's a place where I put my attention, and in the putting of my attention there, I not always, but frequently lose track of time. And, you know, we spent, you said 3 hours, it went like this.
Yeah.
Because we were so focused on what mattered so much to us. Mm. So, I lost the...
because we're so focused
so
on... I was
so out of time and space that I completely
That's
lost.
That's great. I like it.
No, seriously, the fact that there are those movies, it is an expression of my passionate desire to explore these issues for myself, to discover them for myself, and to share. It's like showing your work in long division, and to share what I'm learning and what I'm experiencing and what is really turning me on, and the aspects of it that have really truly changed me and empowered me. I want to share that with people that I meet and with people that I love, with people that I don't necessarily see one-on-one, but they're out there. Those are my interests, and so they show up in my work, whether it's in the kinds of movies that are being done, or it's in the relationships that I have, or it's in writing that I'm doing, or coaching that I'm doing, or training that I'm doing, or things that I want to do. They all emerge out of the same passion.
It seems to me that everything comes from there. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't come from there, there's really no use to be doing it. And it's interesting that you have this passion to discover yourself and to see yourself spiritually growing. Mm-hmm. And in the process, you are getting people to write storylines so that you could see yourself spiritually growing, and actors to read lines so that you could see yourself spiritually growing, and people to the cameraman, and then eventually people that are watching this, also that you could see yourself spiritually growing. In the meantime, look how many people have been affected by your spiritual progression because they grow because of that.
Absolutely. And the other side of it is equally true. It's that, you know, in the way I look at it, the spiritual path is like a freak. It's like a tuning on your radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you tune to a particular station called Spirituality or Country and Western, and on that dial, you're tied into a world of the fandom who are appreciative of the same kinds of things as you are. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much that I'm unilaterally putting out this. When you're tuned to that dial, it's a feedback system,
right.
So you get much more than you give, and you know it's this infinite co-creation that is tuned to wherever you put your attention.
Wow! So now you're putting your attention on something that I think is really interesting is the actual actors and helping them in a way that they haven't been helped before. Not in their acting, but using their acting to help their life. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a fun thing that we talked quite a bit about and is still coming together, but it occurred to me from working with actors that they are trained with a skill set that allows them to very deeply and very, very powerfully access the kinds of technique and the kinds of inner exploration that lead to inner knowing and the ability to lead a more powerful and more authentic life, stripped of the filters that kind of close us down.
Mm-hmm.
And another way of talking about that is to think in terms of there's a lot around of talk now around things like law of attraction and
and
that's all very, very powerful stuff. There's a piece to it that is available to explore, and that has to do with understanding what are the if you use computers as an analogy, what are the programs that are open on your computer that you don't even know are open, that have been there since you bought the thing, that are still running, that kind of mitigate against your intention? And, you know, go back to the actors, their intentions are the same as most of us. They want to have meaningful lives and successful relationships, and they want to have fun in their craft, and they want to have prosperous and abundant realities. And there are these other programs that have been opened sometimes many, many, many years ago that are still operating. And as I said, it's in their training, because actors are taught to understand what subtext is, for example. You know, we talk a lot about subtext, and I view subtext as those layers of programming that are below the surface of text. When an actor dives deeply into a role, they're able to inhabit the role at the level of subtext, at the level of the subconscious intentions that are not at all in the script, but that they import through hard work and forging a character. Mm-hmm. And they're also able to lose themselves in their own creation, the text as it exists in the script, the subtext, the backstories that they create, the beliefs that they create, the thoughts, the choices, the feelings that they bring to that role, and the histories of it, you know, all the method acting.
Right, right.
So all of this stuff is a conscious layering in on the part of the actor. They're consciously bringing to their role the open programs that I referred to earlier that are running in your computer, so that when they come to read the text on the surface, there's all of this inner life that's going.
Right.
And because of their training, they are able to not only inhabit those roles, but they're also able to lose themselves completely in it.
And, you know, Burnett, before you go any further, for those who are not actors, I want to explain real quickly that how important the subtext is. Sometimes in actor training, an actor is given just a small piece of a story and is given just a few lines. So the direction might say, leading man walks in and says to the woman, I'm leaving you forever. And the woman says, I don't understand why, and the man just, you know, says, you know why, and that's it. Well, the actor doesn't know necessarily why he's leaving.
No, it's just in the plot.
Exactly. So,
but then the actor does, you're sometimes alone and often with the director, they begin to work this through, and they come up with solutions to this. They say, well, one may say, I'm leaving him because I have a fatal disease. Another option is, I'm leaving him because I believe relationships don't work. I've always been hurt in the past. My mother was hurt. My father was betrayed. And I have an adversity to intimacy that I've stuffed down. And it's so far down that the character that I'm playing in the movie, well, as that character, I don't even know it's there. But as the actor that has created, this is what's referred to when you hear actors talking about creating these roles. This is the work of creating a role. So the actor has all of these programs in below the line. So when they
come in, changes
everything.
What they're going to, because if he's leaving her because he's got a fatal disease, he might come in crying, and the line is sobbing, saying, "I'm leaving you forever."
Or the line says, "Hi." And it could be read as, I have a fatal disease. It could be read as, I love you. It could be read as, I've dreamed. I've been laying awake 4 days in a row waiting to see you. There are infinite variations and intentions that lie below that line.
And so that's the subtext and everything else that's building. So you were saying that the actors have training in this.
They have training to identify this.
Right.
And if you turn it around a little bit, because they're so sophisticated in this training, they also have the ability to turn that on themselves and do the same kind of examination, the same sort of self-examination that is brought to a role. They can bring it to their lives and understand what is operating below the surface, so that they have the ability to put the clutch in on it, put it into neutral, and then make other more empowering choices.
They have the ability. But I've never heard of any program or any course of study that actually takes that tool and uses it for themselves. This is you. You're creating this.
Well, there is another piece to it. a big piece is understanding, first of all, owning and recognizing that these programs are open and that they're there, and acknowledging them, and then you have to recognize that they're operating, mm-hmm. learn how to kind of put that clutch in, pop it into neutral when they're operating, but to free yourself of them. That involves something else that, again, actors are uniquely trained to do. And that the rest of us on the spiritual path, we all, in order to be free, we all have to be able to go to this place. Actors have, they have a jump on us here.
What's that place?
In order to unhook these things, mm-hmm. all of these thoughts and beliefs, they're all tied to something. You follow them farther down, they're all tied to an emotion. And unless you...
Not to a person? Like your father, your mother?
Well, they can be... The story, at the story level. He hurt me, she hurt me, my dad hurt me, he betrayed me. At the story level, okay. they're tied to a person. But then if we go farther into that examination and you say, well, yes, so it's about your father, and how do you feel about your father?
Okay.
Now we begin to move outside the realm of story and into something infinitely more powerful, which is the emotion that holds the story in place. Mm. Those emotions have to be tapped into and accessed and felt very, very deeply in order for them to be released.
Mm.
So if we're going to have any hope whatsoever, all of us, not only actors, but mm-hmm. if we're going to have any hope whatsoever of identifying these programs that are open and recognizing them and then pulling them out and changing them for more empowering programs so that who you're, what you're feeling and what you're thinking truly is of a certain kind of vibration that, as those people that, you know, talk about law of attraction, so that you are really being, resonating at that level that draws in
so you can
your heart's
attract,
delight, so
right.
that you can. Otherwise, you're just the little train that could. I think I can. There's a Band-Aid below which there is a lot of pain and a lot of feeling and a lot of unexpressed
that won't let
emotion
you.
That as much as you want, won't really let you break through to the kinds of joy and success and abundance, prosperity and satisfaction and esteem that really we're all hungering for. So
that little train that could actually had an engine underneath it that potentially could lead him there, but if we didn't have the engine, then that train would have just sat there.
If you don't have the engine, the train just sits there. And
yeah.
if you have on that train the tools and the resources to not only identify the stories and the thoughts and the commitments and the little structures that we are holding in place, but below that, the emotions that are almost fossilized in there. Until we can tap into and feel and release those emotions, we hold everything is held in place. So one of the things that I am most excited about doing is this workshop, this series of ongoing workshops for actors. And we've been playing with names back and forth.
Yes, what are we calling it now?
At this moment, it's the Tao of Hollywood, the actor's path
okay.
to abundant creation.
I can't wait till you do this for many reasons. A, because I selfishly want to take the course. I've studied a lot of acting, but this is something that I feel I could use. But also because I see the power mm-hmm. that actors have, especially mm-hmm. the ones that are well known, to influence the world. And it's sad but true. We know so many of these beautiful people that play such great roles that we're all fond of them and the roles they play, that their life is a wreck. And we look at them and we put them on pedestals, but then their life is not exemplary, and not by choice of theirs either. Sometimes, so if they could be exemplary on stage or on film or on TV, and exemplary in their lives, what power there is there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I at the same time as that's absolutely true. Anytime we're exposed to any human being who models an energy of integration, who knows who they are and who's comfortable with who they are, and who loves who they are, and is giving, looking to give just a little bit more than they're looking to get, and at the same time they're willing to receive and they're open to love, that powerfully shifts people. Powerfully shifts people. You know, that stops folks. And when we encounter those kinds of people, we understand that there's something wonderful and gracious and giving and beautiful about them.
Mm.
And it shifts us.
Like you.
Well, thank you.
How much am I paying?
I don't want to hold it out that it's incumbent upon celebrities or anybody.
Right.
You know, I want to become as much of that kind of a person as I possibly can be for myself and for those around me. And I want to share whatever I know in terms of those tools and those gifts that allow people to do with that what they will in order to empower themselves alone or in combination with whatever else they're doing,
mm-hmm.
without having to wait for somebody else to come. And you know, I think now one of the things that we talked also about these times of shift. One of the things that's critical about these times, this shifting time, is that we really have to begin to look to ourselves. With a sense of optimism and opportunity that I matter, and it is really up to me to change myself. And if I change my inner story, my own story,
mm-hmm.
the outer story changes too.
You actually took the words out of my mouth with those two comments that you made, because I was going to say the other piece is I can't wait for you to develop this course, because after you've developed it for the actors, I'd love to see you develop it for everybody else. Because, ironically, we do act all the time, and sometimes we don't see it. And sometimes we're having that subtext running as if we're in an acting class.
Always.
Interesting. Because I have certain friends, good friends, thankfully, that we're studying this within ourselves. So if we're getting into an argument or something, one of us can stop the other and say, who are you talking to right now?
It's beautiful.
Because it's not me you're talking to.
It's
you must be talking to your father or your mother.
And it's intimate, and it speaks to the strength of your relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, those kinds of relationships are precious and rare. And also we're at a time in this shift where it's critical to value and to feed those relationships.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot do it alone.
Absolutely.
So that sort of intimacy, where you're able to gently and lovingly mirror to another person who they are, what aspect of themselves they are functioning out of, because as you say, we are all always operating in a multidimensionality. That it was Whitman who said, "I contain multitudes and leaves."
Right, right.
And we do. We have so many aspects of ourselves, and each with their own, from a different time of our consciousness experience, from small child all the way up, each with its own set of beliefs and its own hurts and its own ideas, and those things persist in our subconscious mind.
Unfortunately, we take them all with us.
They just keep
compounding, and it's exponential.
Yes, and then something comes up in your life. Call it a hot button moment or a light button moment.
Right.
And what gets activated is that little thing that's like been sitting on the bench, you know?
Right, right. Which has nothing to do with this moment.
It's suddenly like off, and it's in the game, you know? It's a set of behaviors that erupt out of denied emotions or unreleased emotions and thoughts from a whole other part of ourselves.
And yet the beauty of it is, with these kinds of relationships that we're talking about, or the tools, like the tools that you're talking about, when those things come up, we can say, oh, it's one of those things.
Yes.
I can clear it. Or you're right. Or
in a loving way.
In a loving way.
In a loving way.
Absolutely.
Not in an, oh my God, you're doing that again.
Right.
Not in a critical way. Not in, I have to push that away. Not in a, I hate myself for that. In a way that says, I understand that I have these I have these characteristics. Call them a sub-personality, if you will. I have this part. There is an aspect of me that plays this role. And I make myself large enough to have it do what it's doing, to hear it, not to shut it down, just to hear it and let it be a part of you. You contain multitudes. That's one blade of grass shivering in the wind, but you are the whole field. And so to be able to witness that part of you just without judgment, that is a loving act. And
I like
then
that.
Not to shut it down, but to be able to be the chooser that says, I understand that there's this aspect of me, and that I have this powerful impulse to behave in a particular way, and I'm not going to shut it down, but I'm not going to do it.
Right. Or I'll use it when I need it.
Yeah, I'll use it when I need it.
In case somebody really pisses me off, then I'll go to that child.
That's a profound resource. That's a profound and loving resource.
Wow. You know, you mentioned the shift, and I want to talk about something else that you said in just a moment. I want to remind everybody that you're watching and listening to Life Changes with Filippo, and you can learn more about us at www.lifechanges.ws. And our guest tonight is Barnett Bain, who is an award-winning Hollywood producer and director, as well as a sought-after success coach. And if you've been listening to any of what we've been talking about, you'll see and you've been hearing and seeing the success coach coming out of him so much. Actually, the producer and the director as well. So that actually is one of the most unique things about him. So whenever he's speaking in your town, or if you can buy one of his books that are coming out hopefully soon that I know that you're working on, or the latest movie or whatever, he's a guy that's really looking to himself to better himself and in so doing helping a lot of people. You can learn more about him at our website, lifechanges.ws. He's also on Facebook and the Tao of Hollywood. Actually, there's a long Facebook name and all that, so until you get a short one, we'll just keep all the information at lifechanges.ws, and we'll have him prominently displayed there so you can learn more about Barnett Bain and what's coming up for him. Now, in the few short minutes that we have left, you mentioned I kicked you again.
Again. A little hostility there. We can work on that after the show.
What's my motivation? What's the subtext?
How do you feel about it?
I don't know.
How do you feel about it? We could be in that those friends that could say, you know, it's okay, you know, if you're hurt by that. But moving on. You said something very interesting. You said a lot of people talk about the shift, and that's okay. You weren't putting anybody down, and you were talking about it yourself, and we were talking about it when we talked. But in our conversation last weekend, you said nobody really knows, because a caterpillar doesn't really know what it's like to be a butterfly. And I thought this was so funny. He says, you don't have these caterpillars that get together at seminars and say, oh, when we get to be butterflies, this is how we're going to fly.
No, first we're going to have a pole shift.
That's right. First the poles are going to shift.
First the poles are going to collapse. And the world, which is a metaphor for the world as we know it, is going to deconstruct.
Right.
Which is absolutely true for the caterpillar. So
right.
It is beyond our ability to conceive or to understand or to even speculate what the far side of an evolutionary process may look like. But we can understand some things. We can understand that I think we all know by now that we are that there's so much tension in the world, personal and out in the world, micro and macro, and that the old structures, one after another, seem to be failing us or falling, and that there are various kinds of responses to it, and this may be the pole shift. On the one side, there are people that are resisting change, I don't want to go into this cocoon state, into this liminal state. I like caterpillardom. So there's this heavy-duty resistance, and the extreme expression of that is a kind of fundamentalist adherence to what has been. And then the other polarity of that is the desire to go with an open heart and an open mind and an examined life, so that you understand what aspect is reactive, and you understand what aspect in yourself is terrified, and you you give space for those things. There are ways to respond to those things. And so all of this, all of these paths, these spiritual paths, they are all an indication of, they're all symptomatic of this experience of the liminal between the caterpillar state and the butterfly state. We don't know. Nobody has any idea how it's going to turn, what it's going to turn into. But we do know that much of the way it's being characterized comes from the attempts of people in the past, in our pasts, looking forward to a time when our model, the way we consciously hold ourselves in relationship to all that is, will fundamentally shift to something more expansive. And that their way of talking about those things, you know, they can only talk about it from their experience. So it became the end times, or there will be a pole shift, you know, a metaphor for a fundamental change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a more empowering way to look at it. It certainly is more empowering to me. It certainly gives me a sense of optimism and allows me to function in ways that are much more open to change and much more able to be willing to move into a place where I'm developing a relationship with uncertainty.
Right, uncertainty. Actually, I like that analogy, and the uncertainty is exactly where I was going to go with it. Is this the uncertainty seems to lie in the cocooning part, and I wonder if we're starting to go through this cocooning process, because as things are collapsing, we're feeling differently about certain things, and you don't want to do certain things the way you were doing them before, and it's uncomfortable. It doesn't seem like I'm weird. I'm different. And the non, I don't want to cocoon people. I like caterpillardom, as you said. Look at me and us or some of us and say, you bad people, you. I could understand. Or like the caterpillar is looking at the guy, what's he doing? He's cocooning. It's like, why? There's still more plants to eat and still more places to go.
Well, I think what you're speaking to is very, very real and exists in each of us. And the only way that I can conceive of to relate to it is to bring it into the personal experience and to feel that it is a self-empowering process and that I, as a result of it, I'm being called to look at myself. I am being called to question my assumptions about reality, to question my assumptions about who I am. Am I this? Am I my identity? Am I the roles that I play? Am I somebody who is on the path of seeking in consciousness and spirituality? Am I a friend, a father? Am I a film producer? What am I? Is there something below that? Those are all forms. Those are all expressions of some deeper function that lies below, and that is a mystery. But until we begin to look towards that mystery, I think we're overly identified with the roles and the roles we play, whether it's in our lives or it's on the stage or it's on the screen. We tend to play roles. We tend to become overly, or threatened is another way. We become threatened when those roles are challenged, and everything about our times seems to be challenging our roles individually and collectively.
This has been fascinating. As we know, you and I can go on for hours. And one of these days, I hope we can film that, because the things that come out of your mouth, I feel like you could make a movie out of just the things that you say, but right now they're coming out through the movies that you make and the TV series and all that stuff. So I wish you all the best with that. I know that you work with people and you share information with them. In the last minute or two that we have here together, Is there anything that you want to share that you haven't been able to during this interview?
I want to acknowledge my dearest friend who came to be with us tonight, Norman Cease.
Let's do. Hi, Norman.
And you absolutely need to have Norman. Who is certainly part one of my kith and kin, and is an incredible artist in his own right, and medical doctor and explorer of consciousness, a psyche nut, I think of him as.
As a matter of fact, let's give you your website.
Absolutely.
Norman?
There's a normanseef.com.
Normanseef.com, and Seef is S-E-E-F-F. Right, so Norman Seef, S-E-F-F. And you'll see all these people that you recognize because he shot them, and not, he photographed them.
They're still alive.
Or actually, some of them aren't. But anyway,
he's an amazing, he's an unbelievably special filmmaker, and we share the same passions, and he has also been working for 30 years on an archive that he has filmed that the story of which is to document the creative process, and that creative process, not surprisingly, is very consistent with the techniques that are required to heal the damaged parts of self and emerge into whatever lies beyond that cocoon.
That's interesting. That's actually how Norman and I first met. And here you are. You bring him here to the show, and I thought, wait a minute, this is a small world, and we're all connected, and we're all drawing each other in. So we'd love to have you on the show, Norman, and see how you are, Barnett. I give you 1 or 2 minutes for you to say something, and you go and you give it to a friend. That's how generous and gracious you are, and you've been very generous and gracious with your words today and your wisdom. I've loved this interview and can't wait till we do it again in some form or fashion.
Thank you so much.
Well, you've been listening to Barnett Bain. Yes, we can applaud him. Barnett Bain, award-winning Hollywood producer and director and sought-after success coach. And so today, he's been sharing with us some of his thoughts. Of course, you always can see his thoughts on the movies that he's done, from What Dreams May Come to The Celestine Prophecy, Jesus, and Homeless to Harvard, and the new movies coming up, Illusions, and the Milton's Secret by Eckhart Tolle and Robert Friedman. Again, we'll keep you up to date if you go to our website at lifechanges.ws. And now we have Dorothy Lee with a segment that we used to call the State of the Universe Address, and now we still don't know what we're calling it. What are we calling it?
Well, we're calling it How to Become the Change You Wish to See in the World.
Okay, that's too long, so by next week maybe we'll have another title. But in the meantime, how do we become the change?
Well, change is happening. As I've mentioned before, we're truly living in interesting times. The shift is happening right now. We don't have to wait for 2012 to see what it's all about. The Bible speaks of these days as revelations, and more is being revealed than ever before about governments, banks, and our churches. Others speak of 2012 as the end of times. And Armageddon is what some call it. Well, Armageddon simply means between two worlds. And I know and believe that this is the end of times as we know it. And so what we want to do is become the change we wish to see in the world. When my clients make an appointment for a session with me, I send them a questionnaire asking important things that they need to have the answers to. For example, there are two critical questions that everyone needs to be able to answer in order for them to become who they've come here to be. Question number one has two parts, and most people don't include themselves in the answer. Who do you love, and who loves you? How would you answer that question? Question number two, if you could change one thing on earth, what would it be? And almost everyone answers this question with world peace. Therefore, my question tonight is, how do we consciously co-create world peace? the very first thing that we need to do is truthfully be able to answer the first question by saying that I love myself and I am number one on my list of who loves me. Once we begin to love ourselves, then we can begin to co-create peace in our lives. And once we have peace within us, we can then spread it throughout the world. It's absolutely necessary for us to love ourselves. And once we do, almost all problems with other people disappear as if magic. I often get strong reactions when I advocate self-love. But without self-love, we won't be able to get in. This thing called life on Earth is set up for us to see how long it takes for us to figure out that we are lovable, we are loved, and we are love. I have discovered in my 65 years on this planet that self-love is often described as selfish. These two things are not at all the same. Being selfish is taking the last piece of bread or pie after you've already had your share, but your brothers or sisters haven't had theirs. Self-love is when you choose to leave an abusive situation. Once we begin to love ourselves, we can easily co-create miracles in our lives. I received a call today from one of my very best friends. He's an amazing man, and he's been a client for over 10 years. He always makes me smile because he is always willing to take responsibility for whatever is going on in his world. He opened up a conversation today saying that he was very sad. His heart was heavy, and he was really hurting. He then went on to tell me the story of his daughter, who has hated him for years. And because of her hatred, he's been cut out of all of his family gatherings. He shared with me that he hasn't been a perfect father, but he has done his best to make amends for the past. My friend has been so supportive of all of the members of his family, even though he wasn't allowed to gather with them at special times of the year. And finally, the rest of the family said to the daughter that she was going to have to get over it, that she was going to either stay away because he was coming. They were going to celebrate as they should have been. She threw a fit. And then a couple of days later, when the family wouldn't give in to her demands, she called a family meeting, and she told a big, fat lie. She accused her father of sexually abusing her, and this was the situation he was calling me about. I said to him, "How wonderful. What a great gift she's given you for Easter. This is truly a time for celebration." He asked me if I'd understood what his daughter had done, and I said, "Of course I do." "Well then," he asked, "why should I be celebrating this heinous act? Dorothy, you know that I have been looking for the gift in every negative situation since I first started seeing you. But there's no upside to this, or is there?" I laughed and said, "Of course. Look at what happened. Your daughter told the family a lie and all of your friends and neighbors. And everyone that she told called you and told you that they loved you and they knew that it was a lie. Now that's something to celebrate. Had any one of them believed it, then that might be something to feel bad about for a little while until you could find the gift in that experience. But that didn't happen here. In fact, everyone apologized to you for having let her control all of the family gatherings. Everyone told you how much they love you and believe that you're completely incapable of such an act. So let us just wrap her in love and light and pray that she find peace within herself." And in that instant, he was free of physical and emotional pain. He chose to love not only himself, but he also chose to continue to love his daughter unconditionally. And this is what I call a truly elegant choice. So please remember that no matter what happens on this ride we call life in the 21st century, there's always a gift. Every cloud does indeed have a silver lining. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been waiting for. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making elegant choices, and never forget that you are powerful beyond measure, and you are lovable, you are loved, you are love.
Thank you, Dorothy, with that address. Whatever we call it, it was very beautiful, and thank you so much. Well, we want to thank again our guest, Barnett Bain, for having been with us today, and we're looking forward to our guest next week, who has written a book called The New Job Search. So in keeping with life changes, so much is happening around job searching these days for people that she has written a book called Break All the Rules, Get Connected, and Get Hired Faster for the Money You're Worth. Her name is Molly Wendell, and we look forward to that interview next week. In the meantime, remember you can keep the conversation going throughout the week by joining us on Facebook or our fan page on Facebook, and also at our website, www.lifechanges.ws. Want to remind you that the show has been made possibly in part by Ion Waves Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it is my pleasure, having hosted Life Changes with Filippo today, our anniversary show 1 year, I, along with our segment host and producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Leger, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.